It takes a lifetime to get used to Catholicism. And if you have come to Catholicism, as I have, from a different denomination, it actually takes two lifetimes. I grew up in the Gereformeerde Kerk in Africa and embraced Catholicism during my late teens. And it takes two lifetimes to get used to all the quirks and peculiarities. And even as a priest, I'm still not quite used to Ash Wednesday. There is a solemnity to this day, a solemnity matched only really by the grand silence of Good Friday. A solemnity because in some ways it's like a Sunday with the three readings, but there's no Gloria. And also, on the first day of Lent, the familiar gospel acclamation, the joyful gospel acclamation, is replaced with something more solemn, almost an emptiness. And then we have today's gospel reading, warning us against extravagant displays of piety or of fasting, ordering us to fast in secret and do our good works in secret. And immediately having heard that gospel, having contemplated it in the sermon, we mark our foreheads publicly as people who are fasting, and we go out into the world with our ashes on our heads and foreheads, proclaiming that we are fasting, showing to the whole world exactly the opposite of what Jesus says in the gospel. And this has always, always intrigued me. Why, on such a solemn occasion, do we disobey Jesus? Why isn't there some sort of anointing that we go out into the world smelling of chrism with shiny foreheads? Why do we go out marked with the sign of fasting, with a sign of sorrow, when Jesus himself tells us not to do this sort of thing? So my contemplation has led me beyond the externals into what that ash really signs us, as. For me, it all lies locked up in the second reading today of being ambassadors of Christ, of being transformed into Christ. And here the ashes in our faith almost take on the same meaning as the ashes in Hinduism, the anointing with ash known as vibhuti in Sanskrit, speaks of the burning away of what is dross and the setting alight of what is spiritual. It reminds me of one of Meister Eckhart's comparisons, that we are like candles, and finally the flame of God consumes everything, so there is nothing left except the flame. And the ash shows us that this is where we are directing our life to. For we are dust, and to dust we will return. And that's not negative. Because the flame that is fed on our life, on our spirit, on our body, so to speak, that flame is set free, leaving behind nothing but ash, and becoming one with God, joining with the light who is light. The ash is not a sign of mourning. It is a sign of profound joy. It is a sign of what we truly want to become, transformed by the flame of Christ's presence to be nothing but light to the world. To let the ash of our previous existence of sin simply blow away in the wind. To give ourselves to transformation rather than to fasting and extraordinary public acts of penance. We mark ourselves with the ash so that we can remind ourselves to be fire and light to the world. And we use this period of Lent to nourish ourselves as the flames of the world, as that which gives light to the world and hope and warmth and makes home. The crackling fire with the fragrant wood, smelling of home. That is what we are to the world, and we celebrate it with ash. Thinking of it in this way, more like vibhuti, the ash that remains when the divine fire has burned away all else, that helps make sense of this peculiar Catholic quirk of listening to the word and immediately disobeying it, but only apparently disobeying it. For at a deeper level, we are asking Jesus to transform us. So let us open our hearts at the beginning of this Lent to the fire of transformation, which we celebrate when the Easter candle is raised, and once again we see on Easter night ash forming and falling away, the candle melting in the flame, and Christ alive and burning in our hearts, that there may remain nothing of us and only all of God. Amen.